Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
This is America. My president is back.
Never let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Don't let anybody take your man.
Does that remind you that I've done this before?
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
You have tuned into Independent Thought Radio, where we cover world and national news with current affairs. Some good, some bad, but it's all the news you need to know. I'm your host, Jerome Esprit, bringing you straight talk outside the headlines. So sit back and relax, call in, or hit us up in chat. Now, as long as you're ready, we're ready.
To Esprit.net News on Esprit Radio. I'm your host. I want to remind you, you are listening to a weekly news wrap-up show. This is where you get a week's worth of news in just one setting. Now, if you're in the archives, we're here live Thursdays, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you want to call in, our number is 909-265-9189, so I just want to welcome you again onto the show. Also, I want to say, it start off the show by saying before I get into the show, that it is Black History Month. So this is how we're going to start off. It's Black History Month, so when we start off Black History Month and go through our shows, we usually give you a little Black History, give you some facts from Black History Month. So we're going to do that. But also on the program, the NAACP Image Awards, you know, Denzel Washington claimed the honor for Outstanding Actor in a Motion Picture for his work on Fences, and we expect a lot of awards from him. And also, the FIBA, who's the International Basketball Association, who does, you know, the Olympics and all of the international competition, they're close to eliminating the long-standing ban on religious headgear in competition. So we're going to definitely keep a look out for that. And Under Armour's CEO is once again under fire because two of their star, actually three of the star athletes or star endorsers kind of got wind of, you know, what he said this week about his supporting the guy who was elected president. The backlash from that and his retraction, we actually have that on tap and much more. But I just want to welcome you again onto the show. You're listening to Esprit.net News, and you can call in, join us at 909-265-9189. Our Black History Flack, I want to start off with Dr. Mulana Karenge. You know, he started Kwanzaa. He created Kwanzaa. And one of my favorite quotes from him is that we must use our knowledge to improve our present, enhance our future, and give honor to our past. So Dr. Mulana Karenge, who created Kwanzaa. Now, I don't know how many of you guys celebrate Kwanzaa. You should. But, you know, Dr. Malinge, Mulana Karenge did that. Also in Black history, Leroy T. Walker was the first Black coach of an American Olympic team and the first Black president of the U.S. Olympic Committee. Now, Walker made history in 1976 at the Summer Olympics, and he became the first Black coach. And Joseph Richard Winters was the Black inventor who invented the fire escape in 1879. All right, so there you have it. Just wanted to start off with a little Black history and this Black History Month. And now maybe I'll give some more towards the end of the show, but just like you'd have some kind of on tap while we go. Now, our first story, two major health insurance mergers collapsed in one day after a U.S. judge claimed that they would harm consumers. So Aetna and Humana announced this week that they will not be pursuing their $34 billion merger. And hours later, Cigna and Anthem is to break off their $54 billion alliance. So I know I did the story before, so just in case you don't know, they are not merging anymore. All right. Now, Detroit is the unhealthiest city in the U.S. That's a new review compiled by Wallet Hub. They said they named the Motor City as the worst when it comes to providing for physical needs and mental health issues of its residents. It's followed by Brownsville, Texas. And by the way, I want to say hey to all my people in Texas. And Memphis, Tennessee, Laredo, Texas, and Shreveport, Louisiana. That's the top five, or the top five. And rounding out the top ten, it goes to Corpus Christi, Texas, North Las Vegas, Newark, New Jersey, Toledo, Ohio, and Augusta, Georgia. Augusta, Georgia, and that rounds that out. And, hey, speaking to my people in ATL, hey, I see everyone on the line. So if you want to come in, hit one in line, and I will definitely bring you in. Now that I shouted out some of the bad cities, here is some of the healthiest cities. San Francisco, once again, took the top grade as the healthiest city in the country. This is out of 150 most populated cities. It was followed by Salt Lake City, Utah. I think this was rigged. Scottsdale, Arizona. Seattle, Washington. Portland, Oregon. Irvine, California. Huntington Beach, California, Honolulu, Hawaii, Washington, D.C. I think I'm missing one, but Washington, D.C. was healthy. So, you know, for all my people in D.C., hey, one of the healthiest cities in the country, you made the top 10. All right. Now, one in five illegal immigrants live in New York or Los Angeles, and more than 60% are concentrated into 20 cities. This is a report by Pew Research Center. It shows that 11.1 immigrants live illegally in this country, and 65% of those live in large metropolitan cities like New York or Los Angeles. So, you know, when people start talking about illegal immigrants, just want to tell you, it's not the people coming over the border. It's the folks that are flying in. So, you know, just in case you've been swayed by some of the political banter that's in the world today. It's not that. It's people who come over on student visas and they're expired and they don't leave. That's where most of our immigrants come from. Although the people in, you know, New Mexico, Arizona, California, you still have to remember some of the people who, when Mexico sold the United States that part of the land, or they took it, however that goes, some of those people who are relatives just fell on this side of the border. So technically, you know, I know it seems like it was a long time ago, but still, we do have people who've been here that long, and they were Mexican citizens and became U.S. citizens. There you have it. Now, never use painkillers for your back. This is according to new U.S. guidelines. It says that patients should rely on yoga and acupuncture for 3 months before even taking ibuprofen. Now, in a radical update from the latest guidelines from the 2007 study guidelines that was put out, medics are now looking at mindfulness-based stress reduction and Tai Chi for first-line treatment. So if you have pain, they're just saying it's in your head. Take an aspirin. Well, they're not even saying take an aspirin. They're saying do something else. Now, for me, in holistic medicine, just find some tea, just get something else. But you don't have to use, they said never use painkillers because, you know, the addictive qualities of painkillers. Now, Apple, the company, hit a record high as it reached this market value of over $700 billion. Now, Apple's shares cruised to this record high on Monday, helping catapult the S&P stock index over the $20 trillion mark and leaving Apple with a market share value of about $699 billion. So if you already have Apple stock, bless you. And if you don't, it's too late, so don't go buy Apple stock. I guess I should say that as a public service announcement. Now, at the NAACP Image Awards, Denzel Washington claimed the honors for Outstanding Actor in a Motion Picture for his work in Fences. Now, he paid homage to the writer of Fences, the late August Wilson, who died in 2005 at the age of 60. I didn't realize he was that young. Now, August Wilson is one of the greatest playwrights in history, in the history of American or world theater, is what Denzel Washington said. He said, "It's a privilege and honor, responsibility, duty, and a joy to bring his brilliance to the screen." He said that he was particularly proud of and happy of the new crop of young actors, filmmakers, singers, and producers that are coming up behind my generation, singling out 37-year-old Moonlight writer and director Barry Jenkins, an Oscar-nominated director this year, as an example of how persistence and hard work leads to results. Now, Washington stressed that success is not easily achieved, noting the litany of Hollywood stars, including Kerry Washington, Taraji P. Henson, Octavia Spencer, and Viola Davis, amongst others, who had to persevere until their careers hit the stratosphere. If you don't know, they have been around a long time doing a lot of small projects, and now they're starting to get recognized like they were pretty much overnight successes. Denzel said that falling down 7 times, get up 8, and adding that I guess ease is the greatest threat to progress than hardship. Keep moving, keep learning, keep growing. See you at work. So I have to say, and I think I may have mentioned this before on another show, but all due respect to Denzel Washington and just his persistence. And I saw one of an interview on YouTube that Denzel did where one of the reporters asked him, who did he vote for? And he said, none of your business. Denzel is one of the freest people in Hollywood. So I now have the utmost respect. You know, no shout out to Kai on this, Kai and Kathleen. But, you know, not as a fan of Denzel's, but as actually a fan of respect, or a fan that respects Denzel. So I also like some of his movies. I'm not going to go through that. But anywho, all right, so for Kai and Kathleen, if you both are on the line, just remember you can always hit 1 and come in. But I just wanted to say that about Denzel, because over the years, we have not had a lot of free people who actually understood this. So Denzel, shout out. Now, activists launched a campaign to abolish an archaic New York State law which allows children to get married at the age of just 14. Now, Assemblyman Amy Paulin has introduced a bill that aims to raise the minimum age of marriage to 17, calling the law appalling and appalling loophole for adults to sexually abuse children. Now, again, in this country, just like most European countries, you know, the age of consent is somewhere around 14. Just wanted to say that for the record. In New York State, I thought it was 16, 17, or 18, but apparently it is still 14 in New York State. And in some other states, the age of consent is 12. So I think somebody better get on that. But there's a bill introduced in New York State to change that. Hopefully it gets passed. Now, a pregnant 17-year-old girl filmed screaming in pain being tased by New York City police for resisting arrest. Now, this is on the internet. The footage shows a 17-year-old, I'm not going to say her name. She was 14 weeks pregnant, screaming in pain after she was tasered by the NYPD last week for allegedly resisting arrest. Again, it's disgusting, but we are just doing news. Now, Disney World, an employee admits to molesting a girl after meeting her mother online. Now, Richard Alton Morgan, who's 57, was arrested after police received a tip that he had been sharing child porn from his house, and police told that he molested a girl and some other children. But another worker from Disney World has been arrested. Now, the reason I do those stories, and again, it is an actual story, but major media, you know, Disney owns ABC, so it's not going to be on ABC News, and major mainstream media really does not like to show any kind of negative news that happens at Disney. It's the weirdest thing, but they've had a lot of employees that were arrested at some point, allegedly. I'm just joking. I don't care about Disney. All right, now, the legendary Friars Club in Manhattan, which is, you know, a place where mostly celebrities and comedians were members, and it's famous for its celebrity roast, the Friars Club roast back in the days. It has been raided by federal agents, according to sources, on, I guess it's taxes and some other things, but the Friars Club has been raided in Manhattan. Now, a tennis commentator is suing ESPN. I'm not going to even say his name, but after he was fired for accused of racism for calling Venus Williams out of her name, insisting that he was describing her guerrilla tactics opposed to calling her that. Now, the guy's last name is Adler. I don't know why I'm protecting his name. But he claims that he's suffering emotional distress in a court filing in Los Angeles. And he also is saying that he was wrongly branded a racist and has lost TV opportunities because of what happened at the Australian Open. So we'll have to see how this is going to go. All right. Now, again, you're listening to EspriNet News on Espri Radio. I want to give you the opportunity to come in. Just hit one on your line if you want to come in. But our calling number is 909-265-9189. That's 909-269. Whoa, I always get that number wrong. 909-265-9189. Now, a man has been arrested for suspicion of killing his 72-year-old wife on Valentine's Day. Now, the unidentified man was arrested for suspicion of killing his wife, is what police said. And I guess the man, he and his wife, was he killed his wife, and I think he tried to kill himself, but they were both not identified. But Valentine's Day was stressful on some people, so I just want to make sure I put that out there. Now, a cheating wife who was 29, is charged with murdering her husband with a shotgun and then claiming he committed suicide. Now, I guess her name is Tru Hung, who's 29. She's a nurse and mother of three from Houston, has been charged with the murder for allegedly killing her husband, Stephen Hafner, 34, and then reporting his death as a suicide. So she was arrested after police determined that the shotgun had been wiped clean and the bullet's trajectory did not match the self-inflicted wound. So I guess I would say it was a nice try. It wasn't really a nice try, but she has been arrested. Now, I know I missed the story last week because of all of the hoopla, but we all know that entertainment superstar Beyonce announced via Twitter that she was pregnant with twins, and she posted a picture that pretty much had some of the most hilarious memes and that was circulating around the internet. But she also performed at the Grammys, and I know there was a lot of there was no controversy besides the Adele thing. I'm going to let Kathleen come in on that. So Kathleen, when you're ready to come in, just hit one on the line and come in. But I normally don't do Beyonce entertainment news, but the image of her in Oshun as a goddess, Oshun, I know they kept saying Hindu goddess and some other things. You got to remember those are based off of African deities, pretty much. So Oshun comes first before them. So I want to say shout out, and I have been looking at some of the social media stuff where people are criticizing it one way or another. But I want to say great job, and I'm glad that she's at least showing that side so that people can go study and find out who Oshun is. But much respect to the Carter family. Now, in January, at least 4 black community leaders were murdered in Columbia's Pacific region. Now, it's suggesting that a crisis in an overlooked region of that country, that's the home of the majority of Afro-Colombians. Now, according to the Colombian news site Pacifica, at least 15 human rights activists, black or not, have been killed since 2017. And according to the NGO, Frontline Defenders, I guess that's the news agency, one of the other news agencies, at least 85 activists were killed in that country last year, yet the Colombian government has dismissed these murders as isolated cases, coincidences, and tried to focus their attention on the true fact that violence caused by conflict with these leftist armed forces in Colombia called the FARC, have all but ended since the peace agreement last year. So they're saying that it's just regular violence. So many community leaders nonetheless recognize the historic pattern in which large political shifts in the country have been met with violent backlashes against leaders and worry that this time the black community will be tragically targeted disproportionately. So, again, in other parts of the world, North America, black people are targeted, and don't even hear a word about it. So I wanted to make sure I kind of put that on the news. Now, CNN's Chris Cuomo last week apologized for saying being called fake news as a journalist is equivalent to someone using the N-word as a racial slur. Now, his comments drew swift backlash, and I don't know if you watch CNN, Chris Cuomo is kind of a jerk, so I just say watch it with a grain of salt. But everybody wants to be black when they think something happens to them, but nobody wants to be black when something actually happens to us. So I just wanted to put that out there. Chris Cuomo, keep our race out your mouth. I just thought I'd say that. Now, the international group that governs basketball is close to eliminating a longstanding ban on religious headgear in competition. Now, this is clearing the way for athletes to wear habibs, turbans, and other things in national competitions. Now, FIBA, which is FIBA, told its playing rules committee in a recent meeting to create a proposal that outlines how headgear can be worn safely during games. Now, the goal is to improve the challenges to improve the changes at a meeting in May, and the organization announced this earlier this week, and the move comes following this 2-year study. Now, if you don't remember, there was a U.S. Muslim woman, African-American Muslim woman, who wore a habib in fencing. Yes, couldn't remember what it was. And she got a medal. And also she's gotten harassed at the airport, but that's a whole nother story. But I guess the international body for international basketball is actually going to allow this. So this should be interesting to watch, volleyball, basketball for the Muslim nations or people who are Muslim to wear them during competition. I don't think there's a rule to not do it in regular competition internationally, but just in basketball, they are looking at changing it. Now, each year, about 10,000 people, generally healthy folks who are U.S. Medicare patients, die within 7 days of discharge from the hospital, from the emergency room, is according to a new study. Now, the analysis of about 16 million ER visits show that the most common cause of death in the week following are heart disease, chronic obstruction pulmonary disease, or CPOD, but another major cause was overdose from opioid painkillers like Oxycontin and Percocet and Vicodin. Now, mostly after ER visits for pain and injuries is what the study found is when people usually die from leaving the emergency room. And it said most of these deaths occur amongst patients seen at hospitals that admitted few patients from the ER. Now, policymakers often regard those hospitals as models due to their low cost because they get them in and get them out. But they said each year, 10,000 people die because they're Medicare patients and they try to get them out of the house. I mean, get them out of the house. Get them out of the ER within 7 days. All right. Now, if you haven't seen this story, another one. I should have did this story with the basketball story. But it was one of those stories that I thought I may have to spend some time on, but I will make it short. If you want to come in, for all you guys on the line, you can hit one and come in and talk about this. But former New York Knicks star Charles Oakley says that he was doing nothing wrong while he was watching, or I guess it was at the beginning of a New York Knicks basketball game. 4 minutes into the game, security comes over, and they demanded that he leave Madison Square Garden. After that, the Garden releases a statement saying that we hope that he gets help. Then, you know, a few days later, he's still arrested, by the way, and has some misdemeanor charges up against him. He's already met with the owner. Whatever the owner's issue is with Oakley, he ended up saying that he was welcomed back into the Garden after he was banned. So Charles Oakley, the former New York Knick and Chicago Bull, and he played for several other teams, is now saying that he has, not that he's made peace with them, but he's just saying to clear, set the record straight, he was doing nothing wrong when these, I guess, six or eight security guards came over to him. And he said that if I was on the street and five people came up to me and I don't know who they are, of course I'm going to, you know, fight back or stand my ground. So it was an interesting story. So if anybody wants to come in and talk about that, we can definitely talk about that. But it's interesting. They kind of squashed it, but not really. But the one thing I want to say about this story is instead of looking at Charles Oakley, find out why the owner does not support any former players that he has. I think he has a problem with Pat Ewing as well. And Charles Oakley said he never met him. He knew the owner's father because he owned the team when Charles Oakley played. But this guy is the problem. So James Dolan is the person that I'm waiting for a statement from. It is not about Charles Barkley. It's about why he sent security over, because they were supposed to notify Dolan every time Charles Oakley came in the building. Again, he never met Oakley before, but he profiled him. All right, now Under Armour's CEO is once again coming under fire after some of his company's top celebrities, celebrity endorsers, said that Donald Trump was good for business. So Dwayne The Rock Johnson, the world-class ballet dancer Misty Copeland, joined in with Stephen Curry. He's the pitch man for Under Armour, NBA star. And distances himself from the CEO, Kevin Plank. Now, Plank caused that stir when he told CNBC that Trump was a real asset for the companies. And when Curry was asked about his reaction to those comments, he told Mercury News, "I agree with the description if you remove the E-T from asset." So both Copeland and Johnson released statements on their Instagram accounts in which they disavowed Plank's comments and stressed their beliefs in diversity and inclusion. Copeland wrote on her Instagram page, "Those of you who have supported and followed my career know that the one topic I've never backed away from speaking openly about is the importance of diversity and inclusion." She said that, "I have spoken at length with Kevin privately about the matter, but as someone who takes my responsibility as a role model very seriously, it is important to me that he and Under Armour take public action to clarify communications and reflect our common values in order for us to effectively continue to work towards our shared goals of trying to motivate all people to their best selves. Now, the owner, Kevin Plank, the CEO, did come back with a public apology that he bought a full-page ad and to clarify his position and to backtrack on his statement, saying that he wasn't making a political statement. He was just saying that business would be better. This is after his star endorser, you know, came out. So Stephen Curry, in case you don't know, he reportedly receives about $4 million annually from Under Armour, and he has an equity stake in the company. So he's not just a superstar who's with Under Armour. He actually is a stakeholder, and he's not on the board or anything, but the company has a lot vested in him. So they were pissed that they kind of kissed up to him after they made that mistake. Now, a former top NSA contractor could face 200 years in prison after stealing more than 500 million pages of national defense information over a course of 20 years. Now, Harold Martin, a former defense contractor, spent more than 20 years stockpiling more than 500 million pages of classified national defense information, it has been alleged. So they didn't really, I don't know what it was. Of course it was national defense information. Wouldn't tell us what it was, but they actually have proof that he did steal the pages, and he is now going to court for that. Now, a mother who's 37 is accused of smoking pot with teenage boys and sending them topless photos through Instagram. Now, Victoria Olson, 37, is accused of smoking with these teenage boys in Lehi, Utah. Now, in her home, in addition to sending flirtatious messages and topless photos to the boys, to this group of boys, is what police said. So I have nothing else to say about that. But, you know, while I'm at it, here's another story. A disgraced ex-priest, 74, who spent 10 years in prison for raping an altar boy after he was unmasked in the spotlight of their abuse investigation. He is arrested, and they're charging him with 29 new sex charges. Now, ex-priest Ronald, Paquin, who was free in 2015, has been indicted in Maine on 29 counts of gross sexual misconduct dating to the 80s and involving children at age of 11 to kids age 11 and 14. So he just got out of jail, 74, and they're going to send him back, which, again, they should. Now, a married couple arrested after targeting two of their 16-year-old daughter's friends and trying to make them have making them have paid relations with them. This married couple, Andrew, who's 41, and Leslie, who's 42, Chopra, was arrested in Ottawa County in Michigan on Wednesday, accused of soliciting two teenagers for paid sex. I don't know if they were, I'm not going to go into that. I don't know what they were doing. All right, now, Harvey Theodore Keifel, who's 70-year-old school bus assistant in Woodbury, Minnesota, was charged with sexually molesting six girls aged 3 and 5. That's according to a criminal complaint. These are stories that's in court now. Now, Ohio Village is ordered to repay $3 million from traffic cam speeding tickets. Now, if you're in Butler County in Ohio, the Butler County Judge Michael Osher issued this ruling this week, saying that the money was unjust enrichment for, I guess the municipality is New Miami, the name of it. Now, the ruling is the last round of appeals and disputes in the case. So there was a traffic cam that even if you were in the middle of the street and the light was green and it turned yellow, it took your picture and they sent you a ticket. So a lot of the tickets were kind of unjust, but they were found that they had to repay $3 million. They made a lot of money since it's a small community. They're fighting because they don't want to give the money back. But they do. They have to. All right. Now, a Florida sheriff's deputy is accused of trying to kill an elderly woman. He was defrauding. He was also paid $100,000 for sex by another woman. He faces a total of 25 charges. Now, this sheriff's deputy is accused of selling the elderly woman's dog on Craigslist, and shoving pills down her throat in an attempted murder. He is now facing more charges. Again, we're only doing this because there are some bad officers out there. Well, we need to kind of call it what it is. All right, now, South Carolina police officer is charged with assault after he punched a handcuffed suspect in the face in a squad car. Now, the former South Carolina police officer, Leroy Ayer, who's 29, faces up to 30 days in jail for punching James Terry while arresting him for speeding in November. Now, I don't know why this is such a, a charge that is, doesn't seem to warrant a lot of jail time, but 30 days just does not seem like enough. But it's 30 days that they're only seeking 30 days for this guy on this particular assault. Now, Jody Euclid, I guess he's a, or he or she is of Merrimack, New Hampshire. She barricaded herself in her apartment with two guns after assaulting her boyfriend, Jason Martin, for saying that her spaghetti dinner was okay. Now, I guess this woman was a little upset and he needed to show a little bit more appreciation, but apparently she had had enough and she actually pulled a gun on him because he said it was just okay. There's a lot going on in this world for people. Now, if you want to impress your friends, forget new stories. Now, here's a study that just recently came out. You know, people prefer tales that they have heard before. So researchers from Harvard University asked listeners to rate the speakers on the familiar or unfamiliar topics. They found that listeners preferred to hear stories that they've heard before. So forget giving people something new. I used to think this was funny when you see the older guy comes in and he's telling these jokes that was from the 60s kind of thing. And people laugh, but apparently people prefer old jokes. So there you have it. Just know that every time you get ready to tell a joke, just kind of find an old joke and work that one out. All right, I want to remind you, you're listening to EsperNet News. You can call in and join us at 909-265-9189. And I see that Kai and the commission is on the line, but you guys haven't hit one on your line. So I kind of wanted to take it a little bit easy and say, hey, if you're not ready to come on, you're not ready. But if you want to come on, feel free. We have plenty more news to speak about, but just wanted to make sure that, we gave a little room in here. Now, there is 10 companies that profited from the slave trade. Sometimes we forget this, but, I like to kind of do segments. It is Black history, but Black history is not slave history. Just wanted to say that. But just in case you didn't know, New York Life found that its predecessor, Nautilus Insurance Company, sold slaveholder policies during the mid-1800s. So that company is built, I guess they just bought a company, or they morphed into New York Life, but they actually had some early slave policy, apparently. Tiffany's and Company. Tiffany's was originally a finance with profits from a Connecticut cotton mill, and that mill operated from cotton that was picked by slaves. So Tiffany's and Company is one, is company number 8 that profit, or company number 9 that profit. So we're just doing 10 of them. Aetna Insurance. Aetna insured the lives of slaves during the 1950s and reimbursed slave owners when their slaves died. So Aetna is another one. Brooks Brothers, just in case you have a Brooks Brothers suit. The suit retailer started their company in the 1800s by selling clothes for slaves to slave traders. Brooks Brothers suits made slave outfits, slave clothes. All right, Norfolk Southern. Now, two companies, Mobile and Girard, and the Central of Georgia, I don't know what that is, became Norfolk Southern. So Mobile and Girard paid slave owners $180 to rent their slaves to build the railroad for a year. So they needed cheap labor, so they paid the slave owners and had their slaves working on a railroad. Okay. And, again, this is Norfolk Southern. Bank of America. Oh, I'm sorry. In Central, the Central of Georgia owned several slaves as well. So the Mobile and Girard paid slave owners $180 to rent their slaves, and Central of Georgia owned slaves to work on the railroads. Now, the Bank of America found that two of its predecessors, Boatman's Savings Institution and Southern Bank of St. Louis, had ties to slavery, and another predecessor, Bank of Metropolis, accepted slaves as collateral on loans. So you can get a loan and put your slave up for collateral. Just kind of how it went. Now, the USA Today, I know a lot of people do stories or read stories from USA Today, they reported that its parent company, E.W. Scripps and Gannett, or Gannett, that service, was linked to, I guess it was linked to the slave trade somehow. They reported it. They don't say how they were linked to it, but E.W. Scripps and Gannett, the news services, was linked to the slave trade. Wachovia, two institutions that became part of Wachovia, Georgia Railroad, and the banking company, the Bank of Charleston, the banking company and the Bank of Charleston, owned and accepted slaves as collateral on mortgage property or loans. AIG purchased American General Finance, which owns the U.S. life insurance company. AIG founded, they found documentations that the U.S. life insured the lives of slaves as well. J.P. Morgan Chase reported that between 1831 and 1865, two of his predecessors, Citizens Bank, and don't get confused with the new Citizens Bank, because there is a Citizens Bank now, but Citizens Bank and Canal Bank of Louisiana accepted approximately 13,000 slaves as loan collateral and seized approximately 1,250 slaves when plantation owners defaulted on their loans. So I'm guessing that if they defaulted on their loan, they actually went back and sold slaves, apparently. So there you have it. Those were the top 10, or I wouldn't say top 10, but those were 10 companies that actually participated in the slave trade. Now, again, I want to remind you, you're listening to Esprinet News. Just want to give you a little bit. While it's Black History, I'd like to actually have some Black History news, and we did some at the beginning, and we just wanted to have some on the show. Now, also for Black History, just some history for you. In 1988, if you don't know who Dr. Sebi is, he recently passed, but Dr. Sebi, in 1988, when the OSHA Research Institute won his case against the New York State Supreme Court, It was the first of its kind, and that victory included the right to practice the healing traditions of our forefathers by using herbal medicine and natural nutritional substances that are consistent with our genetic structure. So Dr. Sebi was taken to court. They challenged his method, and the Honorable Dr. Sebi asked the judge, "Hey, are you, when slaves came here, did you bring their food?" The judge said no, and he literally won his case to provide herbal medicine through their methodology to cure AIDS, to cure blindness, to cure high blood pressure and diabetes. So I just want to respect that. Dr. Sebi, and if you need to look him up, it's Dr. S-E-B-I, and they accused him of practicing medicine without a license and making fraudulent claims about curing AIDS. But when they asked him to bring in 7 people, one from each disease, he brought in 77 clients that testified in 1988 that he cured all of these diseases, and he won. So just wanted to make sure we did that and kind of show you a little bit of Black history. Now, Dr. Patricia Bath, she's an ophthalmologist from New York, but she's living in Los Angeles. When she received her patent, she became the first African-American woman doctor to receive a patent for a medical invention. Now, Patricia Bath, patent number 4,744,360. It's a method of removing cataract lenses and transform eye surgery using a laser device making procedure to make the, cataract probe more effective. So she patented it in 1988. It is designed to use the power of the laser to quickly and painlessly vaporize cataracts from a patient's eyes, and replacing the more common method used by grinding this drill-like thing to remove infection. So Dr. Patricia Bath is one other story that we want to give you for Black History. So just wanted to make sure I gave you some more. I know I missed some throughout the other shows, but I wanted to make sure I gave you some more in this show, so that you were caught up in case you were having to teach Black History at some point or repeat Black History Month. All right, again, I just want to remind you, listen to Esprinet News. You can call in. This is what we do, a weekly news wrap-up, news summary show. You can contact us, 909-265-9189. You can always check us out in the archives and join our RSS feed. If you want to listen to us on tablet, you want to download it, listen to the show later. I know a lot of people do that. So you can go to espriradio.soulofsyracuse.com and check out some of our shows in the archives, and then add us to your iTunes RSS feed. And I guess there's other technology that you can use. Now, before I get out of here, I want to tell you, I have another story that I just thought was a little bit interesting, that people are trying to avoid. If you want to avoid excess baggage charges, you can now wear your luggage. There's a new product on the market called an airport jacket. It has enough pockets to hold about roughly, 8 pounds of items. Now, the Australian manufacturer is claiming that flyers can fit 2 laptops, an iPad, 2 pairs of shoes, a pair of jeans, 5 T-shirts, a jumper, whatever that is, a camera into the coat. So I don't know if you're familiar with Good Times at all, but it is kind of like Lenny having one of the big coats you just open up. But it is a really long jacket. If you want to see, I think I did post on the show page the sketch of it. But it's a big jacket, like a long trench coat that has a bunch of pockets in it. But they're saying to avoid the carry-on fees, you can actually use your jacket and wear your luggage. Now, I'm not with you, but, hey, if that's something that you want to do, that's fine. Now, I just want to, again, say, you know, thanks for tuning in. You're listening to AspreyNet News on Asprey Radio. Just remember, you can always check us out anytime in the archives. You can also get us on iTunes whenever at your convenience. So I just want to say thanks for tuning in and thanks for listening to the show. This is AspreyNet News. We will see you again next week. Hopefully Kai and the commish will be joining us, because I know the commish did want to talk a little bit about that whole Grammy stuff. Wasn't really big on it, but I'm sure we'll be talking about that and the Oscars and all that stuff as well. If you want to ask any questions or check us out or put some things on the agenda, you can always write us at news@soulofsyracuse.com. That way, once we get it, I'll make sure that we have a segment that we can talk about it on the show. But in the meantime, enjoy your week. We will see you again next week. This is AspreyNet News. Later.